take it out.
So quiet, I guess I have to begin. Why don't you stand your feet? As we often do, let's go before the Lord in prayer right now. Dear Jesus, we love you. God, I'm so thankful for another opportunity to be here in your house. God, I need your help and your strength, your love to lead and guide us. God, we've come in need of you, God. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy and your grace, God, for watching over us and helping us and leading us, God, every day of our lives. Help us this evening, Lord, to set everything else aside, focus our attention upon you, God, let songs of praise and worship be lifted to you, God, giving glory and honor to your name, for you are so due and so worthy of any and all, God. We ask you to open our hearts and minds to receive from you, to be encouraged, to be strengthened by your word, God. We love you, Savior, we praise you, we honor you, you are so good, God. You are greatly and great, you're great and greatly to be praised. We thank you, God, for your goodness. Can we sing this?
When I walk in deep waters, I know you will be with me. When I'm standing in the fire, I will not be overcome.
Never leave me. I am not alone.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. We worship you. We praise you, God. We thank you for your goodness, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. While you're on your feet, I want to give you the opportunity to walk around, greet one another, shake their hand, tell them you're happy to see them here in the house of the Lord. There'll be an usher at the back with an offering plate. You can give as you go by and as you greet one another. Savior, how we praise you for your goodness, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, God. What a love, God. What a love, Jesus. What a love, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can we just lift our hands for a few moments, lift our voice? What I found in you, Jesus. Nothing compares. Nothing compares to you, Jesus. The love I've found in you. It's a perfect love. Cast out all fear. I thank you, Jesus. I honor you. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 God bless you for standing. You may be seated. Some needs we need to take to the Lord in prayer. Sister Day is not feeling well tonight. She said Brother Day is having a lot of difficulty walking, so she asked that we remember them in prayer tonight. So let's, when we go to prayer, let's lift up Brother and Sister Day before the Lord. Anybody else have a prayer request you'd like to make mention in church? Sister Callum? All right. Special unspoken from Elder Callum. Brother Mike? All right, all right. Sister D? All right, all right. In Jesus' name. All right. Anybody else? All right, why don't you stand? Let's go to the Lord in prayer right now. Dear Jesus, we love you, God. I'm so thankful that we can come to you with every care and concern of life, God. Every situation, circumstance, you're able to meet and supply all the needs according to your riches and glory, God. We lift up Brother and Sister Day before you in prayer, God. Brother Day, he's dealing with health issues, God. Lord, Sister Day, she's not feeling well and trying to help him, Lord. I pray that you'd be encouragement to the soul, God. Speak life to them, God. Strength to them, Lord. Let people of the church reach out on their behalf, God. Send a word of encouragement, a text of encouragement. Say a prayer, God, on their behalf. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to have brothers and sisters in you, God, to strengthen and encourage one another, God, to bind together, God, through tough times, God, to help one another heal and move forward. Jesus, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for those dealing with situations at work. God, we know that you're able to help. God, you're able to move in every situation. God, you're able to open doors that no man can shut. God, and we believe and trust in that for those unspoken needs. Lord, you know every detail of every situation in this place. God, those who need strength in body. God, those who need help in mind. God, those who are hurting in their heart. God, you know, God, and you're able to help. You're able to move, God. You're able to strengthen, God, and we come before you in that faith, believing, God, asking you to touch and minister in a mighty way. Jesus, we love you, we praise you, we honor you, we thank you, God. Let your spirit and power be upon us this night. In Jesus' precious name we pray. In Jesus' name we ask it. Everybody said amen. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. I do want to make you aware of a few things by way of announcement on Sunday night. First of all, let me say, for those of you that were here and able to be a part of our first share session on Sunday night, it was great. And if you weren't here, well, you missed a treat. We just had a great time together, great sharing of the word by Brother Bill Kellum. And then we got to hear the stories of Sister Connie and Sister Robin Atkins, and that was great. And then we got to hear some great singing from Elder Kellums, and so it was just a wonderful time together, and we enjoyed that. This coming Sunday night, however, we need to take opportunity to get the float ready. We have entered a float into the 4th of July parade happening on the 6th, and so we had talked about having a work night tomorrow night. But we realize it's probably going to be better to have the bulk of the work that we have to do is getting everything ready and decorating and painting and all the stuff that needs to happen. And so we're going to do that on Sunday night. And so we need you here on Sunday night at 6 o'clock to help us get all that together. And then someday next week, probably maybe Thursday night, depending on schedules, we're going to put everything on the trailer and make sure the trailer is ready to go for Saturday. So we will not have a work night tomorrow night. We are going to start everything on Sunday, if you will. Not everything, because they're already starting some things down there tonight, but the bulk of what we're going to have to do together is on Sunday night, and then we'll need some assistance, probably some specialized assistance with tools and that sort of stuff to attach everything to the trailer. So we'll come back to you with more details on that probably on Sunday. But just looking forward to a great time together. Regularly scheduled services on here on Sunday night. And then we will set up after that when we're going to meet to put things on the trailer. So Sunday night is here. Great question, and I need to clarify that. Yes, everybody's meeting here on Sunday night. And so we'll do everything here before we transport and try to attach everything to the trailer. Now I lost my train of thought. Where was I at? Yes, regular schedule on Sunday morning. Thank you. With our Sunday school lesson at 10 o'clock and then our evangelistic service at 11. And then, like I said, at 6 o'clock, we will be getting together to work on the float. So, and then obviously next week, we have a sign-up sheet at the back. Next weekend, not this coming weekend, but the following weekend is a big weekend, Faith Family Fireworks. The City of Sandwich has moved the fireworks display back to Saturday night. Normally they do it on a Sunday night. So we are going to move our get-together back to Saturday. And obviously the parade happens here in town. If you want to be a part of that, a lot of us sit outside here on Main Street and watch the parade. That starts at 10 a.m. And then at 5 o'clock, the party, if you will, Faith Family Fireworks, Fellowship, Get Together, whatever you want to call it, happens at the Davis's residence. That is beginning at 5 o'clock. But we need your help in order for it to kick off and be ready to go. We need people to help us set up tables, chairs, bounce house, you know, the grill, everything that has to be set up, volleyball net. Tent will be there, ready to go. It'll be set up, but we need to set everything else up. The church will be in charge of getting the meats, hamburgers, hot dogs, buns, that sort of stuff. and then we need each family to bring a dish to share and something to drink. And that way we have enough side dishes and drinks to go around. And the church will also have some ice and some waters and some that sort of stuff. But we need you to bring that. So a couple other things you may want to bring is a lawn chair or a blanket to sit out on the kind of the knoll out there and watch the fireworks. And you probably want to bring some bug spray. So just as a word of caution, may want to bring a flashlight so that you can see going to and from, because by the time we end up, it is plenty dark out there. So a flashlight's a good idea as well. And please, please, please help us. I know everybody doesn't stay around for the whole thing, but it's really not good if everybody leaves and there's just two or three people trying to pick everything up. That's not fun for those people. So please make sure you stay around and help us as we tear everything down. We do a lot of the tear down prior to going out to watch the fireworks, and that kind of helps things speed along. But there is a sign-up sheet at the back, so please take time to look over that, sign up for things so that we can hold you accountable. And the church said amen. So we can hold you accountable to what's happening on that night. So thank you very much for that. We are going to get into the study for tonight. We are continuing our study entitled Developing the Leader in You. And so as soon as I find it here on my iPad, there we are. We will start the process. Developing the leader in you. Anybody remember what we talked about last week? What our subject was last week? We talked about leadership's most appreciable asset. Anybody know what that was? Sister Dee's pointing at herself. Me. People. People. That was a subject matter for last week. Leadership's most appreciable asset. We talked about people, how that basically leaders are able to grow by the growth of their followers. We talked about how important it is to appreciate people and how being appreciated, it means so much. So we're going to just basically take a moment just to make this thing work or not. I don't know, Brother Jay, you may have to exit out and get back into it. I'm not sure. Or maybe this thing is just not functioning correctly. Now we got nothing. Well, still not happening. We have changed around our, and I want to say, let me just stop and say, thank you, Brother Al, for doing such a great job. He built us took some old wood from up in the attic and made us a wonderful sound booth. And he's not here tonight, but you need to know this. Brother Ryan Waller, Brother Al's here. The other person I'm going to mention is not here, so I need to clarify. Sorry, pronoun reference was horrible on that one. Brother Ryan Wallace has been working tirelessly around here and putting stuff together. Sound system, Brother Bill Kellum has been helping him as well. But Brother Ryan Wallace has been up here multiple days in the last few weeks just putting things together. It's kind of become almost like a little obsession with him to make sure that the sound system is everything it can possibly be. And he's not here tonight for me to publicly appreciate him, but you need to tell him next time you see him, thank you, Brother Wallace, for all that you're doing and the effort you're putting for this is a lot of his own time that he's doing it. And but I do want to say thank you, Brother Al, for the work on the sound system and in the whole, I don't even know what you call it, stand? Sound system stand? Is that what you know, table? Sound table? Anyhow, it looks awesome. Thank you, Brother Al. Much appreciated. Still no bueno. I was trying to stall. Let's see if we can make it work. No, I'm kidding. All right, I'm gonna have to nod at you, Brother Jay, and you're gonna have to help me. Can you go to the next one? All right, click it again. This is gonna be fun. We talked about appreciating people. Next. One thing almost always on the list of people's needs is the desire to feel worthwhile. We talked about that last week. I think everybody would agree. There is, within the heart and life of every individual, that need to feel worthwhile, to feel significant. Next, please. When you make someone feel more important, it increases their self-esteem. Now, you say, well, that's kind of a no-brainer. But self-esteem is important. You got to think of it like this. Self-esteem, almost like a train. Self-esteem is that engine that kind of makes things go. And if you can increase someone's self-esteem, if you can make them feel better about the job that they're doing, if you can appreciate them, you're going to get more productivity out of them. It's the steam, if you will, that drives the engine. Next one, please. One of the highest forms of appreciation you can provide an individual is to help that person be useful and to find significance. Truly help that individual realize that they are significant, that their contribution, that their skin in the game, as we talked about last week, is worthwhile. It is necessary. It's essential to things happening the way they should happen. And finally, we talked about how that encouragement is oxygen to the soul. When you encourage someone and you lift someone up, Barnabas was known as an encourager, the brother of consolation. He was an encourager. He encouraged Paul. There's no doubt that Paul experienced discouragement in his life. And there was no doubt that at certain times that Barnabas was able to encourage him and make him feel like what he's doing was significant and worthwhile. And we need those kind of people in our lives, and we need to be those kind of people to others. We need that. Next one. As we often do, we take a quote from the previous week and try to figure out who can remember what the quote was. The greatest potential for the growth of a... Anybody? Don't be scared. The greatest potential for the growth of a... What have we been talking about? Yeah? Developing the leader. The greatest potential for the growth of a is found in the growth of their. Next. Followers. The greatest potential for the growth of a leader is found in the growth of their followers. We talked about how that one person can only do so much, but if you learn how, if you develop the leader in you, and you are able to develop people and appreciate people, people are really leadership's most appreciable asset, because as you grow people, things begin to happen and production begins to take place. All right. Now, subject matter for tonight. Indispensable quality of leadership. Anybody want to take a guess as to what the, not you, Brother Jay, because you can see it. Anybody want to take a guess as to what the going to be a great night. Indispensable quality of leadership. Guess? What's that? Wrong? Anybody? Give it a shot. Nobody? Nobody's going to take a stab at it? What do you think is an indispensable, I'm going to have trouble all night with that word, indispensable quality of leadership? Good example. Did you say something, Brother Greg? What's that? To lead. Yeah? I tried to click it like 3 times and it didn't happen. Vision. Vision. An indispensable, now, you know me, I'm a pretty candid person. And I was telling my wife in conversation earlier in the week as I was studying. Vision is, this is one of those areas of leadership that I struggle. I struggle to cast vision. I don't know how to or what to attribute that to. I told her, and even think back to almost 7 years ago now, and us coming here to Sandwich, I told her, I said, you know, I can't really say that I came with a vision. And that's troubling, because it's an indispensable quality of leadership to be able to cast a vision, something for the people to hold on to, something for the people to grab onto and move forward, a goal, a destination, a ticker tape, if you will, something that says, hey, there's something out there for us all to be going towards. And so, yes, this is an indispensable quality of leadership. And it's something that corporations throughout the world, organizations will always, how many of you ever heard of a thing called a mission statement? Well, a mission statement is essentially, it's the vision. Now, it may or may not be a great mission statement, but sometimes corporations will bring in people and they will try to establish this mission statement, which means something, which gives a direction for the people and the employees of the corporation. It's the vision. They're casting the vision.
Next slide, please. Oh, I thought I heard somebody conversing with me. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables that he may run that readeth it. We also see it in the Holman Christian Standard Bible. The Lord answered me, write down this vision clearly and scribe it on tables so one may easily read it. In other words, Habakkuk, I'm giving you a vision. I'm giving you what's going to take place. I'm giving you now make sure it's plain. Make sure the people understand it. Make sure it can be easily read. Make sure it's heralded throughout the streets. Make sure people understand there's a vision. There's something to be looked forward to. There's something where you lift up your eyes, where you truly understand there is a goal. There is something to be done. Next slide, please. Click again. I'm just going to do like this every time. All great leaders possess two things. One, they know where they are going. And two, they are able to persuade others to follow. All great leaders possess two things. They know where they are going, and they're able to persuade others to follow. Way back when, you remember when we talked about one word that would define leadership? Anybody remember what that one word was? Influence. I don't know who said it, but yes, influence. Influence was that single word definition. When we went back and we started the study, we talked about how that if you were to define leadership with one word, you would have to say it's influence. The ability to gather followers. Because if you think yourself a leader and no one is following you, you're not leading. I mean, it's pretty basic. And so, great leaders possess two things. They know where they are going, and they're able to persuade others to follow. They're able to get others to see the dream. They're able to get others to see the vision. They're able to get others to recognize that's a worthy goal. They're able to get others to put skin in the game and say, yeah, I want to help you make that happen. I see it as you see it, and together we can do it. And great leaders are able to do that. They're able to not only see where they are going, have the goal, they have that dream, they have the vision, but they're also able to persuade others to come along. See it with me. Cast the vision, but I need you to see it with me as well. Helen Keller was asked, what would be worse than being born blind? She replied in her way, to have sight but no vision. To have sight but no vision. Vision is an indispensable quality of leadership. It's got to be there. You got to have vision. You got to be able to point people towards a particular goal. You got to be able to say, hey, this is what we're after. And I know we all have a same general vision in the same general sense. We all want to make it to heaven. I get that. We all together as a body of believers, we all want to make heaven our home, right? But it's got to be, a vision has to be even more defined in that. Yes, we are all planning to make heaven our home, but not only do we want to make heaven our home, we want other people to go with us, and we want to have a vision for making that happen. We want to see that. Four vision levels. There'll be a lot of clicking here, Brother Jay, so you just got to follow me. Some people never see it. These people are the wanderers. No real direction, no real dreams, no real vision. Just content to go through life, just content to wander aimlessly. Certainly not visionaries, certainly not people that other people are going to follow. They never see it. Some may not even want to see it. They're just content. I've often said and made this statement in relation to certain people and lifestyles, and I've questioned. I was like, do they not want to break out of the cycle? Do they not want to live a different life? I don't get it. How can you be satisfied with that? How can you not have any vision to break from that mold? How can you be content to live in that type of lifestyle or that type? I don't get that. That doesn't make sense to me. It's as if they're just wandering through life, and it doesn't really, they don't really have any goal. They don't really, and I realize it's some of this dependent upon situation and availability. I get that, but not all of it is. Because we talked about a few weeks ago when we talked about attitude, and we made the statement, 10 to 15% of life has to do with what happens to you. 85 to 90% has to do with how you react to it. And so when people have no vision, when they're just content to wander, when they don't see it, when they don't explore, there's no sense of adventure in life. And just, you know, week in, week out, day after day, just doing the same thing, going through the same routine. And I think to myself, why? Is not life meant to be more than that? Shouldn't there be something that propels you, that causes you to see beyond that? Just because mommy and daddy live that way doesn't mean you have to live that way. Just because the circumstances of your childhood were negative and bad does not mean the circumstances of your adulthood have to be negative and bad. But some people just never see it. They just wonder. And it's sad. Some people see it, but never pursue it. These people are what we call followers. They see it, they don't really pursue it. Oh yeah, it was a good dream. I see it, but I'm not going to pursue it. Somebody else is going to have to do it. I know it's there. I know there's a potential. I know the possibility exists, but I'm not going to go after it. I'm not going to pursue it. And whether it's their own feelings of inferiority or incompetence or whatever it is, their own attitude about outlook on life, whatever the situation is. We talked about a few weeks ago, the attitude has the ability to change our life. And if you could ever get someone who is a follower to change their attitude to where, hey, you can see it, but you can also get it. You can also pursue it. It can also be for you. That can happen for you. I was telling my wife, I was reading a, she said it's going to be on my gravestone. I was reading a book. I was listening to a book, okay, which in my mind qualifies as reading it, okay. And it brought out, and I didn't realize this, that Michael Jordan didn't make his varsity basketball team. Did you know that? Did you know that Walt Disney was fired from a job because he was told, and I quote, "You have no imagination"? Do you know that Oprah Winfrey was let go from her first broadcasting gig and she was told by the producer, "You'll never make it in this business"? Now, if those people would have just been content to follow, guess what? The world would be a different place. They weren't just wonders or followers. These people were dreamers. These people were visionaries. These people believed that there was possibility. That they could. Some people see it and pursue it. Oh, well, that's a leader, right? No. These people are the achievers. They achieve. They see it. They pursue it. Oftentimes they achieve it. And that's great. It's good to be an achiever. But there's a lot of achievers out there who are not necessarily leaders. Because there is a difference. Just because I achieve something, just because I am a successful person in whatever respective business or pursuit in life, does not necessarily mean that I am the leader. I'm an achiever. I can see it. I can pursue it. I can achieve it. And then you have some people who see it, pursue it, and help others see it. And those people are the leaders. Those people are not the ones that just say, I'm content with achieving it myself. I'm content with having success all for myself. No, that's an achiever. A leader says, I'm not just content with having success for myself. I see it, I'll pursue it, but I'm going to help others see it. I'm going to help others realize their potential. I'm going to appreciate other people and let them understand that they too can see it. They too can pursue it. They too can help others. And we're going to be a body of leaders that are leading people along. In regard to the future we see, what we are prepared, in regard to the future, I need to read that right. In regard to the future, we see what we are prepared to see. I got to learn how to use commas. In regard to the future, we see what we are prepared to see. Every successful leader understands this about people and asks these three questions. What do others see? An achiever is not really concerned with what others see. Achievers just concerned with it for themselves. They pursue it, they see it, they achieve it. It's all well and good. But a leader goes beyond. A leader thinks to himself, well, what do others see? Also, why do they see it that way? Why is their perception like that? Why are they content to be a wanderer or a follower? Why are they just content to be an achiever and they don't want to help other people achieve it as well? What is it? Why do they see it that way? What is their perception that causes them to stay at a certain level of leadership and a certain level of influence? What is it that they see? Why do they see it that way? Why is their perception that way? Why do they just see this opportunity as a 40-hour-a-week job, and they don't aspire to promotion? Why? Why are they content staying at the lower levels when if they just put forth the effort and they changed the way they thought and they decided to stop becoming a wanderer or a follower and decided to achieve and pursue, why don't they? Why is their perception that way? Why are they content to stay where they are? Why is complacency comfortable for them? What is it that causes them not to aspire to achieve? And then the question is asked, how can I change their perception? I'm not content with just being an achiever. I'm not content with just seeing it and pursuing it for myself and getting it for myself. What do they see? And why do they see it that way? And how can I change their perception? How can I make them see it differently? How can I make them see like I see? Next slide. We all live under the same sky, but we do not all see the same horizon. Some people are wanderers. No really aspiration. Don't want to look up. Some people are faithless about the ability. Some people have no confidence. They feel inferior. They just wander through life. I don't want to do that. I don't want to try to achieve. I don't want to try to conquer. I don't want to try to go forth. It's uncomfortable. Change is not getting out of routine. I don't want to do that. So those people are like the 10 spies who came back with a report and said, oh no, Moses, we can't go up. We are as grasshoppers in their sight. They're giants. We can't do it. We got to stay right here. We can't achieve. We can't go forward. What did Moses ask them to do? Go and spy out the land. See if it be good. Go look. Instead of seeing the giant bushels of grapes, instead of seeing all that the land had to offer to them, we're grasshoppers in their sight. We can't do it. But Caleb, let's go up at once. Give me the mountain. I'm ready. Let's go. Same sky, different horizons. Same sky, different horizons. Same experience, same encounters. Saw the same sights. Totally different attitude. Totally different outlook. Totally different perception. In the 1800s, a bishop from the East Coast paid a visit to a young college president who also served as professor of physics and chemistry. After dinner, the two sat down for an intellectual discussion. The bishop declared that the end couldn't be far off, for just about everything about nature had been discovered and all inventions were probably conceived. The young college president politely disagreed and said he felt there would be many more discoveries and inventions yet to come. He was immediately challenged by the bishop to name just one. College president replied by saying he was certain that within 50 years, man would be able to fly. Nonsense, sputtered the outraged bishop. Only angels are intended to fly. The bishop's name was Milton Wright, and he had two sons. Their names were Orville and Wilbur Wright. pioneers of the airplane. Nonsense. Only angels are intended to fly. And his two sons were the men who created the ability, if you will, the understanding of flight. Father and sons lived under the same sky, but they didn't have the same horizons. Father thought the end was near, no more inventions. All that could be discovered had been discovered. But the boys were out testing and trying, going again and again and again. They had vision. They believed that somehow, some way, that mankind could take to the air and fly like the bird. Proverbs 28:19, where there is no vision, the people perish. Vision is so indispensable that without it, people will not follow. We should all seek to know God and His desires for us, seek to grow to our maximum potential, and sow the seeds that benefit our potential followers. That's really what it's all about. When we talked about it last week, and the quote about the meaning of life is to find your gift, and the purpose of life is to share that gift with others. Lead other people, to help them understand that they can achieve. They don't have to be wonders or followers. They can be leaders. They can be achievers. They can go forward and do great things. Another book I was reading, a lady who was a teacher, remember years ago, the Sandy Hook Massacre, anybody remember that, up in the Northeast? And she wrote a book about her experience. The book is called Choosing Hope. It's a great book. She talked about how life for her was wonderful. I think at the time she was 29 years of age. She was engaged to be married. She was, by her own words, she said, I was working in a job that I would work even if they didn't pay me. I loved my job. And she said, one of the reasons why I love my job is she said, I always, from a little girl, dreamed to be a teacher. She said, I would set my stuffed animals up on the bench, and I would teach them. And from a little girl, I had a vision to be a teacher. And I thought to myself, wow, we have generations coming up that have no vision. They truly don't. They just wander through life. They feel entitled. They feel like the world should give them, give it away. And they don't want to work for it. And they don't want to aspire. They don't want to achieve. And it's upon us. Where there is no vision, the people perish. In other words, generations, the potential for generations to perish when vision is not casted, when vision is not given, when we don't help young people understand, you need to have goals in life. Next slide. Beware of vision stealers. Charlie Brown holds up his hands in front of Lucy, stating, these are hands which may one day accomplish great things. They may one day do marvelous works. These hands might build bridges or heal the sick or hit home runs or write soul-stirring novels. These hands may one day change the course of destiny. Lucy replies, those hands have jelly on them. Beware of vision stealers. People who don't really care to achieve. Don't really care about developing a leader in them. Be careful. Watch who you walk with. How can two walk together except they be agreed? Except there be a vision and an understanding? Except they have a goal in mind? Next slide. It's a poem. Great is to believe the dream, as we stand in youth by the starry stream. But a greater thing is to live life through, and say in the end, the dream came true. Vision. It's an indispensable quality of leadership. Being able to cast the vision. As I stated earlier, I recognize this. This is a fault in me as a leader. Vision casting. Being able to come with the vision. Now, understand, I came with, I'm going to be a good pastor and a good father and a good husband, and I'm going to do everything I can, but to truly have a to find vision and cast that vision. Next slide. Developing the leader within you. Sometimes developing that leader takes difficult things and tough decisions. It takes being willing to be uncomfortable. It takes being willing to step out of the norm. It takes being willing to change. To say that things have to be different. Whether on an individual level, in a family sense, or on an organizational level, in a job sense, or even in a church sense, change is essential. It's necessary. Change isn't always easy. Sometimes it's hard. Changing sometimes is one of the hardest things you will do. But you also recognize that that change, though the weeping may endure for the night, joy comes in the morning. There is a change. There is a difference. There is a switch, if you will. There's that shift that happens when people decide change is necessary. Last Wednesday night, I met with Brother Davis. And then this Sunday night, at the conclusion of our share session, I met with the Board of Trustees. Forgive me if I get emotional. I know that there will be a lot of questions. And I ask that you would allow me to read the entirety of this letter. Here goes. Your Board of Trustees, the saints of the First Apostolic Church of Sandwich, it is with much mixed emotion that I and my family submit this letter of resignation as pastor and family of the First Apostolic Church of Sandwich. Since September of 2012, my family and I have had the privilege of serving you precious people. We do not take this step without much prayer, conversation, and consideration of how our decision will affect our family and all those we have connected with over these years. This congregation will always hold a special place in our hearts. We will never forget the experiences and the encounters that have helped shape us. You have always been so kind and gracious to us, and we will be forever indebted to the love and compassion shared with us during our tenure here. You have treated us like royalty. So please know this decision did not come about based upon any deficiency on your part, but rather in the resolve and understanding that this transition is the will of God for our family's future. We may have played the part well as a family, but we for some time now, have been secretly suffering with the magnitude of making this change. As we know, this decision will hurt many people which we have come to love and consider family. However, we know this transition is a must to strengthen and further develop our family. We are not accepting a pastorate or position in another church, so our decision is not based upon any opportunity other than the opportunity to transition back to being closer to our families and to provide needed support for our family's future. We have laughed, loved, fellowshipped, worshiped, and prayed with you. And our lives have been enriched by those interactions more than we could ever express. Thank you for loving us and allowing us the opportunity to serve you. We will always hold you in our hearts, even though now we must release you with our hands. With the deepest love, Reverend Nathan L. Wells and family. I know some of you sit there in shock. Please know this is not something that would be done if I did not feel it was absolutely essential for our future and yours. I've already submitted this letter to my presbyter. Spoke with him in person on Monday. I met with the trustees on Sunday night. Expressed to them our desire to have a great weekend together. And then that weekend to say our farewells. I don't know what our future holds, but I know who holds our future. On a personal level, this time, the only time it's happened in our tenure here, when we went home on vacation around our family, we as a family and personally, my marriage were struggling. When we went back for vacation, we connected again. We recognized we had been wrestling with it for a while. We came back the week after vacation, and our kids were still down in Florida. My wife and I had opportunity to talk, dig deep. We realized this was imperative for us and our family. We love you. And we'll always love you. And I know there's many unanswered questions, and I don't know that I have the answers to them all. I can only trust God. I commit to you that I will work with the Board of Trustees, Brother Davis, church government, to assist in any way that I can to make a transition possible. Forgive me if I'm hurting you. Never my intent. Would you please stand? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you. The opportunity to come and pastor these precious people. It's been a season of life we will not soon forget. And it has helped us grow. Help us to see things in us, God, that need to change in order to develop in the leaders that you would have us to be. Lord, I pray for these precious people. I know many of them, their hearts are hurting, God. And I hope that they know that this was not done without much, much prayer and consideration. Help us transition together. Help me and my family as we make the decisions that will affect our future. Change is tough, God, but it's necessary at times. And we feel your leading in your hand, and this is the only resolve that we have. Help the hurting heart, questioning minds. Help our farewell, God, to be as wonderful as our reception. We love you, we praise you, we thank you. We ask all these things in your precious name. In Jesus' name we ask. You are dismissed.